other one was how do we develop our direct link with Srila Prabhupada. And okay, so, and I said that I will tie these two up together. So first let us consider this, how can we develop a conducive relationship with each other. And develop a spirit of cooperation. And in this respect, we should also remember that Prabhupada wanted us to show our love for Him through our spirit of cooperation. Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. So, we at least know one thing, how to develop a love for Srila Prabhupada. And why this spirit of cooperation has been so emphatically established by Srila Prabhupada? Because Prabhupada could see that the success of our movement lies in the spirit of our cooperation. You don't have to run away. Just stay there. The children will cry. So, as long as the mobile phone doesn't ring. Because that's the grown-up's mistake. The children will cry. So, let him also listen. He may protest. But I have my way of convincing him. So, you see, we develop our loving relationship with each other in two ways. One is direct and the other is through some medium. Now, material relationships are generally direct. More material it is, more direct it is, in the sense it's directly linked with the body. Say, one person falls in love, so-called, falls in so-called love with somebody. But what it actually means? It's a direct relationship based on physical exchange. In simple words, when in the mundane platform we develop a relationship, physical relationship, it is a ploy to exploitation. In this respect, we have to understand that the material nature is the nature of exploitation, whereas the spiritual nature is the nature of service. That's the difference between material nature and spiritual nature. In this material nature, everyone is, as long as we are materially situated, we are always trying to exploit each other. And more direct it is, the more exploitative it becomes. But say, for example, a man develops a relationship with a woman. What is the objective of that relationship? In a material platform, it's a relationship based on exploitation. It started off in that way. Although they gave each other many romantic ideas. It was expressed in a very fanciful, romantic way. But the bottom line actually was desire for exploitation. Then eventually they get married. Husband become husband and wife. Then a child is born. Then that relationship gets another dimension, another shape. Their relationship is not direct, it is through the child. And that relationship gets a more pure color to it. It is more purifying. And then they are not actually thinking of each relationship just based on each other's needs and demands. Then the relationship is focused on the child. Or it develops in another way, like say through somebody develops a relationship based on some mission, like say the soldiers, they develop relationships with each other. But what is the bottom line or the basis of that relationship? Patriotism. They love their nation, they love their country. And that, so in this way we can see that more indirect that relationship becomes, more selfless it becomes. Right? And ultimately, who is the center of our love? Who is the original center of our love? Krishna. So when we develop our relationship with Krishna in the center, then only we are able to develop a real loving relationship with each other. And in that relationship, now say, let us go back to that point. Say the soldiers are fighting a battle. And in the battlefield they develop a very intense relationship. Very, very intense, relationship with each other. Because they're survival is dependent upon their unity. But why they are united? The unity is based on the love for the country. Right? They love the country and that is what is bringing them together. In a little more gross way I can say that somebody loves to play golf, the two golfers become good friends. Because they have one common loving object. What is the common loving object? Golf. Right? And in this way you find that friendship develops based on some common factor. But the ultimate, we know that in the material platform all the relationships are transient and it is based on exploitative tendency. Because this is the material, the reality is the material nature is a platform of exploitation. Whereas spiritual nature is diametrically opposed to that. So what is the opposite consideration of exploitation? The diametrically opposed to exploitation is service. So this is the world of exploitation, that is the world of service. Right? Now, don't we see that, the selfless relationships are actually based on, in selfless relationship, service attitude become more and more prominent. Right? So child is born. Right? Now, father and mother, both of them, what they're doing? They're simply trying to serve the child. And by serving the child, they're developing a common ground of relationship. The soldiers are, out of their love for the nation, they're serving the nation. And for the sake of serving the nation, they're prepared to give up their lives. So in this way, we can see that even in the material platform, we see the selfless attitude of service based on some common loving object. Now these, no matter how selfless apparently they may appear to be, But ultimately, they all are mundane. They all are based on, as Prabhupada pointed out, like this is extended selfishness. They may appear to be selfish, selfless, but actually it is extended selfishness. The selfishness has gone beyond the body into some larger sphere. Like, come to think of it, one soldier is out of his love for his nation, he is fighting with another soldier who is in love for his nation, and they're killing each other. Right? Now his selfishness has been extended from his body to family to society to the nation. But then they're conflicting between two nations. On the national level they're conflicting and fighting. Right? But the ultimate harmonious service attitude and relationship can be developed only through spiritual involvement. And spiritual involvement means to put Krishna in the center. So the actual loving object is Krishna. And through that common loving object, the devotees develop our relationship with each other. You love Krishna, I love Krishna, therefore we are friends. So in this way we can consider there are three stages. One is direct physical consideration, then secondary physical or via medium physical consideration, and then ultimate spiritual consideration. So the goal actually is that ultimate spiritual consideration, where Krishna is the object of love and our way of expressing that love is through service. And when we do that, then only we will be able to develop this pure spirit of cooperation. Then there won't be any, because it's done out of love for Krishna. Well, what's the point of, anyway, since you brought it. Anyway, we are having a microphone, but we made our arrangements already. Maharani, मैं जो कह रहा हूँ तुम समझ रही हो, हाँ, बहुत अच्छी, कोई ट्रांसलेशन का जरूरत नहीं है, very good, you have become an English lady.
I can translate it.
Hare Krishna. Do you need the microphone now? Do you need amplification? Okay. So, or should we just speak it without the thing? Huh? Is it better without or with?
With.
Okay. So that is the first thing. Now, how can we develop that loving relationship and spirit of cooperation? That ultimate loving relationship will be developed with Krishna in the center. And that love for Krishna will be reflected in the form of friendship among devotees. Compassion towards the innocent. And disregard for those who are offensive to Krishna. And those who are in love with Krishna and developed that attitude of service to Krishna, they will naturally cooperate, because they will find by cooperating they can improve the quality of service. They can increase the volume of their service, dimension of their service. Like if I'm serving alone, I can render this much service. If we are serving together with others, then the volume becomes more and more in dimension. Volume increases. And in this respect, Prabhupada once mentioned, in devotional service,
In the material platform, in the material consideration, 1 plus 1 is 2, 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 4. But in the spiritual consideration, 1 plus 1 is 11, 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 111, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1111. So in this way, the magnitude of our service increases with the spirit of cooperation. And cooperation then becomes easy because it is that way to display our love for Krishna. We're doing it not for our personal benefit, like the father and mother when they're taking care of the child. Do they fight with each other? No, I will serve this way, you serve the child that way. No. Well, both of them are perfectly harmonized for the benefit of the child. Right? What is the ultimate consideration is what is going to be beneficial for the child. So similarly, in the spiritual platform, it becomes what is going to please Krishna, what is going to be beneficial for Krishna. And that spirit, you know, brings in the perfect harmonious relationship and the spirit of cooperation. And Prabhupada was very emphatic because Prabhupada wanted to spread this movement all over the world. And it's not a simple task. You know, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted this movement to spread in every town and village. So how is it going to happen? Right? Is it one man's job? Is it going to be two man's job? Is it going to be 100 individuals' job? Is it going to be 1,000 people's job? Is it going to be 1,000,000 people's job? Yeah. We have to think in terms of millions. And can you imagine when millions of people get together to promote Krishna consciousness and spread it all over the world, what's going to happen to this world? I mean, consider in ISKCON, just a handful of us, and even though when we're not cooperating, Krishna consciousness is spreading in such an effective way. So what to speak of when? And I tell you, this movement will grow only through the spirit of cooperation. If the spirit of, you see, why people will become attracted to our movement? First thing is, when they see that we are achieving something wonderful, that will give them faith and that will generate their interest. Right? Because, you know, if we are just ringing the bell, you know, in an empty temple, you know, it's not going to impress anybody. They will be impressed when they see that we are achieving some amazing thing. Right? And then they will feel proud of being a part of this institute. And in order to achieve something wonderful, we have to cooperate. We have to get together. And here also, you know, like cooperation also will take place in two different dimensions. You know, when Prabhupada was here, cooperation was easy. Because Prabhupada was the leader and everybody followed Prabhupada. Later on, ISKCON embarked in a situation when from one leader there were many leaders. Right? And cooperation, you know, became difficult. Like under the leadership of different leaders, the groups are cooperating, but you know, now the main consideration is the leaders have to cooperate with each other. When the leaders cooperate with each other, then the followers also will cooperate. But on the other hand, if the leaders become divided, then the followers also will become divided. Now, you know, it is difficult for leaders to cooperate, because different leaders have different projects, different.
And tendency is to conflict instead of cooperate. During Prabhupada's time also it used to happen. You know, there are many powerful leaders. Although working under Srila Prabhupada, the leaders were the GBCs. And the GBCs used to fight with each other. They fought with each other. During Prabhupada's time. So, and Prabhupada used to give, very emphatically tell us that, you know, that unity in diversity, about unity in diversity. Like we may have our differences, but in spite of that we have to be unified. And so, personally I feel the best way to develop the spirit of unity or understand what Prabhupada meant by unity in diversity is, the different leaders will have different projects. But all the projects will be for the sake of promoting Krishna consciousness. Then, you know, we'll be able to develop our spirit of unity. And there is no need to, because if we are fighting for the same cause, then naturally we become united. Like look at a football team. There are 11 individuals placed in different positions, right? But they all are actually, as a team, their function. The goalkeeper is playing in one way, and the forward line is playing in another way. They're playing their games in their respective way, but they're playing the game for one common cause. That is the team. And the cause is to win, to defeat the other team. So, I'm sure with the maturity, this will develop. You know, the unity will develop. And also another thing in this respect I will emphasize, the need for that, is that we have to recognize that this process is the process of surrender. And the surrender means submit ourselves to a higher authority. And when we submit ourselves to a higher authority, that means we have to follow the instructions of that authority. We should never be in a situation when we are not, when we do not have any authority, higher authority, to submit to. Like Prabhupada structured ISKCON in that way, like all the devotees in the temple must function under the temple president's authority, departmental head's authority. The temple presidents and all the other devotees must function under the authority of the GBC. And the GBCs must function under the GBC body. And GBC body is the ultimate managing authority of ISKCON. So we have a very clear understanding of the structure of authority, the line of authority. And we have to be under that authority. And the worst thing that can happen to a spiritual movement is when people do not have the respect for the authority. When people do not have respect for the spiritual leaders. But then what happens? Then the whole purpose will be lost. Because the foundation for the spiritual life, spiritual principle, is Shraddha. Confidence, faith, and respect for higher authority. And if we look at it in this light, then, you know, the whole picture becomes very clear. You know, I don't have to elaborate on that. You can just see the state of affairs of our movement, where we are going wrong. Do we have enough faith in our leadership? Am I submissive enough to the leadership? And then it is also a two-way traffic. It's not that I just submit to the leader and leaders don't have any responsibility. Are the leaders fulfilling their responsibilities? Are the leaders guiding us, the followers, in a proper way? So these are the things that
we have to consider. And when we do that, then I'll go to Yuvraj's point, like how to develop our link with Srila Prabhupada. You see, the spiritual link is established through service and faith. Faith and service. Now, the question is, do we have enough faith in Srila Prabhupada? Am I really convinced about Prabhupada's teachings? Am I acting according to Prabhupada's instructions? So these are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. And then we'll come to the point of understanding that Prabhupada created an institution. And through the institution, Prabhupada is always present. A spiritual master is present in two ways. Through his vapu, through his physical form, and through his vani, through his instructions. Now Prabhupada's vapu may not be present, but Prabhupada is present through his vani. And that vani has got a very tangible shape in the form of ISKCON. Stay in ISKCON, which has been established according to Prabhupada's vani, and you will be following Srila Prabhupada. Just stay in ISKCON, you will be following Srila Prabhupada. You will be forced to follow Prabhupada's instruction. What are Prabhupada's first instructions? Chant 16 hours. What's the next instruction? Follow the four related principles. Read Prabhupada's books. Spread Krishna consciousness. Distribute books. Distribute the message. Go out in Harinam. Right? So when we are doing that, what are we doing? We are following Prabhupada's instructions. So the best way to remain connected to Srila Prabhupada is just by being the institution that Prabhupada created. Okay. So does it discuss the topic that you suggested? Any other topic to discuss? Yes.
Just had a question.
Yeah.
Would it ever be a time that the spiritual master's personal instructions would be different to the temple authority? And what would you do if that was the case? Or would that never be the case?
Well, that may happen. That may happen. But in this respect, the expression that I'm trying to use is for the sake of peace and harmony, for the sake of proper, you know, serenity of the situation, it is better to follow the instruction of the local authorities. Remember, last time I came, I actually emphasized on that point. Like, at least I, for myself, of course there is no hard and fast, you know, clear understanding of that. But at least if you ask me, then my instruction will be to you all that if my instruction is conflicting with the temple authority's instruction, then disregard my instruction and follow the temple authority's instruction. Because that is more important. Like, I'll just give you a small, simple example. Kunal was considering whether he'll come to India with me. More or less, I just pointed out, okay, you can. But then I said, ask your temple authority, because you're in the temple. Now, if the temple authorities say, then don't go, then you can't put your foot down and say, that no, my Guru Maharaj said I should go, so I must go. No. If the temple authorities say otherwise, follow that. What will happen that way, we'll be able to avoid undesirable situations. Because line of authority means line of authority. And we must follow the line of authority that Srila Prabhupada has given.
see that there are a lot of authorities around, both local and on a spiritual master level also. So what should we do? I think what sort of things should we keep in mind when we do choose what authorities we wish to follow?
The authority structure that Srila Prabhupada has given.
Sorry, what was that?
The authority structure that Srila Prabhupada has given.
I think say you've got like two or three different temples, right, and you're trying to choose which local authority they
Okay. I mean, your situation is a little different because you're staying living outside, right? But you know, like for the sake of your own convenience and all benefit, it is better to affiliate yourself with a specific temple and accept the authority structure of that temple.
And does it have to be a temple of authority? Could it be a senior figure who isn't necessarily sort of fixed to a particular temple?
Ultimately it should be under the temple.
Okay.
Because the temples are actually the units of ISKCON. Like say congregation is there, but the congregation is supposed to be under the authority structure of the temple. Mm. Otherwise you'll always look for loopholes to avoid the instructions of the authority that may not be very pleasing to you. You'll find your way, your own way of doing things. That is not surrender. Surrender means to the authority structure. Because you see, we have to look at a bigger picture and we have to look for the ultimate benefit. Like, what is going to benefit? What is our ultimate objective? That ISKCON movement spreads. If ISKCON falls apart and we become a big personality, what's the benefit of it? But if ISKCON spreads effectively all over the world, and if I am a part of ISKCON even as a sweeper, I'll be glorified. So our interest should be what is going to benefit ISKCON. How this movement is going to spread. That should be our consideration, because that's what is going to push you from Prabhupada. Any other question? Oh, you had a question, right?
It's about chanting. It was a successful increase in my consciousness. 99% is about just chanting. So how can we improve for chanting?
Improvement of chanting means improvement of hearing. You see, we're chanting the holy name. And what is the holy name? The holy name is Krishna. Krishna manifested himself in the form of sound. That is what the holy name is. Krishna in sound. Now how do you receive sound? Do you receive sound through your eyes? Do you receive sound through your tongue? You receive sound through your ears. So receive Krishna through your ears. This particular aspect of Krishna must be received through ears, hearing. And when you hear attentively, then Krishna will manifest himself. It's only a matter of time, matter of Krishna's mercy. Okay, thank you. Yes, Srinivas.
In the act of devotion, we see the example of Brahmana who offered sacrifice to the manaseva. So, in this context, is that allowed manaseva, or how would that come about? Or is it through chanting everything manifests?
Yeah. Okay. You see, manaseva means service through mind. We have two material identities, gross body, subtle body. And the service must be rendered according to where our consciousness is. If your consciousness is in the gross body, then you must render your service to the Guru through the gross body. But when the gross body will become weak, gross body will become dysfunctional, unable to function, then render service through your mind. Right? But if, where is your consciousness now? In the gross body or in your subtle body? Right? So use the gross body in serving Krishna. Not that with your gross body you'll do your nonsense, and with your subtle body you'll serve Krishna. But someday it will happen, the gross body will become ineffective, unable. Yes, then lying in your bed you can render all the service you want through your mind. You can work, you can offer sweet rice, you can distribute millions of books. How can you
help to infuse others in Krishna consciousness?
Enthuse. You see, the best way to preach is through our own action. When others will see that you are so enthusiastic in your purpose, then they will also be induced. On the other hand, just consider, you're giving big lectures, telling everyone to get fired up, but you yourself don't do anything. Do you think they'll take you seriously? No. But on the other hand, then they see that you are doing, rendering so many wonderful service yourself. Then whoever will come in contact with you will say, wow, she's rendering so much service, so enthusiastically, so sincerely. So let me find out why she is so committed, what she's following. In this way, it is contagious. You know, enthusiasm, the spirit of enthusiasm is extremely contagious. Like, I won't say, I mean, of course, I jokingly use that expression, contagious. But it is actually very influential. It's very effective.
I have one question: is why Vaishnavas follow Vishnu and not follow Krishna?
When one is following Vishnu, he is considered to be a Vaishnava. But when one follows Krishna, then also he is a Vaishnava. But his relationship with Krishna and his service attitude to Krishna becomes different from the way one serves Narayan or Vishnu. In this respect, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that those who follow Vishnu, they are Vaishnavas. Those who follow Krishna, they are Kashnas. And those who follow Srimati Radharani, they are Gauriyas. So we are Gauriyas, we are the followers of Srimati Radharani. So we are very special type of Vaishnavas. The general expression is Vaishnava, but there are different categories of Vaishnava. Yes, Rishi?
On the topic of false pride and false ego, on a theoretical level I can understand that I am very small in an infinite number of material universes, but on a practical day-to-day level, it doesn't really filter through to me, especially in my work. I mean, what can I do to help reduce my big false ego?
Well, that is acceptable. When you're with the devotees, remain humble in front of them. When you're with the materialists, then display your pride. After all, you are a very exalted person. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes. Rajita Rupini. How can we, in simple words, how can we bring them back to ISKCON? Personally, I've seen that it's very difficult. But some individuals will come back on their own. Actually, they have to make the decision themselves. You know, it's very difficult to make them decide. But it is better to just be nice to them when we have any exchange or encounters with them and keep our doors open. That whenever one wants to come back to ISKCON, our door is wide open. But they have to decide whether they want to come. There is an expression, you can take the horse to the water, but you cannot make it drink.
Seeing the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas in the past can really bring us really close to their mood that they were experiencing. I was just wondering, sometimes it's very difficult to know the tunes of these songs as well, especially because they're in Bengali. And sometimes other parts of India, especially, I know they, you know, you start singing a Bengali song, they fall asleep or they don't want to know. So what can we, you know, what can we do?
Translate them into your language and give your own tune and sing it.
Oh, okay. We can do that. We can do that, huh?
Well, you can translate.
Yeah.
That's normal. There is no harm. And if you're a good music director, then you can give the tune also.
Did you sing one for us?
First, you have to translate.
Just going back to the previous question, if somebody is been very dedicated to the movement and then they fall out, is it part of the karma or is it part of my experience? Because I've been like, you know, sometimes you can.
Yeah, well, deviating from Krishna consciousness obviously is
an act of Maya. I mean, one's influence of Maya. Because going away from Krishna means Maya. And obviously it's not karma, because commitment to Krishna consciousness takes care of karma. If you're committed to Krishna consciousness, your karmic reactions are taken care of. You don't have to worry about karma. But to stay fixed up in Krishna consciousness is important. There it needs, you know, commitment, conviction, you know, and proper understanding. Yeah.
Maharaj, on the 13th of July, we've got a very bold, ambitious preaching project. And can we have your blessing that it's a raging success?
Tell me again.
Yeah. The festival in London in Finsbury Park, anti-racism. So we're trying to get ISKCON within that in some way. And then hopefully all the devotees, young devotees, come together, cooperate, go then, do our best to serve.
Actually, this is a good strategy, you know, like preaching must have any mission must have a strategy. And the strategy means, you know, what will be the most effective way to achieve that mission. And personally I feel the topical issues, the burning issues, are a good way of preaching. To address the burning issues. Prabhupada was doing that. Prabhupada would immediately, he would see what is the burning issue and he would immediately get in, you know, push Krishna consciousness through that. And if these topics are important issues, burning issues, relevant issues, then take those cause and push Krishna consciousness through that will naturally be beneficial. And try to motivate them by preaching. Make them understand. Don't tell them that because you want it to be done, that's why they have to come and join you. Rather, make them understand that how it's going to help the cause, help the mission, and how it's going to benefit the world. And with that understanding, they must get involved. No other question? Okay. 8:30. So what do we do? Tav katham ritam sapta jivanam kovirhiritam kalma shah.